So welcome back to Healing the Earth Radio here. And I'm on the phone with Sarah from Prescott, Arizona, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah, how are you doing?
Very well. Hey. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So about 2 weeks ago on the show, I was talking about the situation which led to 6 people being arrested across the states and a bunch more served with subpoenas. And maybe do you want to give a bit of introduction about what happened on December 7th and yourself or a friend and supporter of Bill Rogers? And do you want me to talk about his own story and the circumstances which led to his arrest?
Sure.
Great.
Sure. Well, you know, on December 7th, which was a Wednesday, you know, in our little town of Prescott, Arizona, the locals call it Prescott, were, you know, shaken by the arrest of a beloved community activist and the extensive search of his business, which is the Catalyst Info Shop and Bookstore in Prescott. On that day, more than a dozen federal agents arrived at the Catalyst Info Shop and removed computers, documents, and miscellaneous items from the shop, impounded the owner's vehicle, and then took Bill Rogers, one of the co-proprietors of the Catalyst, into custody. And, you know, throughout that process, you know, a search warrant, of course, was requested upon entry and repeated numerous times and was eventually presented some hours later. And as might be expected by some of the listeners, it read very much like a blank check. It included items such as address books, personal diaries, photographs, correspondence, email, receipts, bills. It didn't specify any particular charges, and it mentioned the Animal and Earth Liberation Fronts, you know, merely in passing. We, of course, we being, you know, the many friends of Bill in Prescott and volunteers and organizers with the Catalyst Info Shop, were, of course, shocked by this, surprised, disheartened, and didn't fully realize at the time how large this episode was. On that same day, individuals were arrested across the U.S. in a nationwide sting on alleged eco-terrorists. And, you know, this, you know, supposedly is kind of a coup for the administration in terms of their war on terror.
Hmm.
Since that time, you know, much more has come to light and much more has developed. All stand accused of various federal crimes involving arson or explosive devices dating back to 1998, including the destruction of a wildlife research facility, wild horse corrals, a reputed GMO tree farm, an SUV dealership, and most notably, the ski lift expansion in Vail, Colorado. My good friend, Bill Rogers, was accused of participating in one of these acts, and then later additional allegations were added, but they did not turn into official charges. And you know, us folks in Prescott are still recovering from learning of Bill's alleged suicide in his jail cell last Wednesday evening, the night before he was to be extradited to Washington State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people were really reeling from that. And what do you think, like, what do you know about Bill as far as, like, his mental health leading up to that and, like, his confidence in his case? And he was apparently going to plead not guilty, I do believe, too. And, like,
yes.
He had strong support in his community and everything. Like, can you talk a bit about that?
Sure. Well, of course, I was able to speak with Bill a bit while he was in custody via phone. We have, you know, other friends within our community who were able to visit him in the Coconino jail in Flagstaff, Arizona, where he was being held. The last time I spoke with Bill was the Sunday before his death. And, you know, by all accounts, he seemed as he generally does, which is a man at peace with his life. Bill is a remarkable person, and I say is because I believe that continues.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, lived his life in Prescott as a man with great integrity and great love for his community and the people around him. With a great dedication to the wild. And so, you know, the days leading up to his death, his spirits were high, I think, in many ways stronger than the rest of us on the outside. You know, still fulfilling the role that he has played so many times in our community as a center of strength. You know, I can only speculate as to, you know, where he was at in the days that followed.
Mm-hmm.
As a friend, the best understanding that I can offer is kind of a, well, it's, you know, a story of many Northern Plains Indians who, having lived in circular structures all their lives, were later imprisoned into square cells and willed themselves to die because they could not foresee a caged life. And I think that Bill's soul was very similar in that. That's about all I can say.
Yeah. Yeah, there are, I don't know if you're comfortable with talking about this, but there are like a few inconsistencies or things which seem kind of, they don't really make a complete picture, like the idea that he had, like the apparent difficulty it would take to smuggle a plastic bag into one cell, for example, and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. Like, are you comfortable with talking about that, or what do you think about that?
Well, you know, I mean, unfortunately, all I can do is speculate.
Yeah, I know.
There are a lot of unanswered questions in this. You know, I don't know that there's any answer I can give that, you know, can answer the questions that people have out there. I can say that Bill was someone who was very dedicated to living free. And so in that, you know, after I... just processed my own initial shock of hearing of his death. You know, I felt that choice could be very congruent with who he was as a
yeah.
person.
Yeah. Well, you know, I myself and a lot of people I know were really really sad to hear that as well, that he died.
Yeah.
And a lot of our hearts here in Guelph are with you. Even though we're pretty far away. Yeah.
You know, as a community, we've been processing the loss of a very important part of all of us. And over the past week, there have just been, you know, messages of love and support and, you know, stories of Bill flooding in. And, he was a man who touched many people's lives and lived with great integrity. And, you know, so, you know, of course, it's hard for all of us to, you know, deal with the thought of not being able to continue. to do the community building that Bill was so integral in. We are very blessed in our little town that we do have somewhat of a physical embodiment of the work that Bill was doing, and that's through his bookstore, which acted as a community space for many people, hosted various community groups, and that will continue to happen. So we seek some emotional support and spiritual support in doing that work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Catalyst Info Shop sounds pretty inspiring. It seems like there's quite a community where you are.
Yeah, we've got a good little community, and Bill, that was not, of course, the only role that Bill played in our community. He was really involved with helping to establish a peace and justice group that came alive after the September 11th, 2001, and has been an important supporter of just giving emotional support to those of us who are working in different aspects of life, providing different types of aid, and all of that work will continue. We invite folks out there who are affected by Bill's story to learn more about the Catalyst Info Shop and help in any way that they can. This is a facility that is run largely on donation and the goodwill of the community. We invite anyone who would like to help us keep it alive to do so, and information can be accessed at www.catalystinfoshop.org.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot. Are you able to talk a bit more about, I know you can't talk too well about everyone else that was arrested, but are you able to talk a bit more about the general story of what's going on right now with this witch hunt?
Oh,
like,
sure.
Maybe frame a bit more of like what's going on with all the cases and the arrests and what this means in general.
Yeah. Well, of course a lot remains to be seen in that. I think it's important to look at this within the framework of the overall kind of terror frenzy that the U.S. government has been on for, the past 4 or more years, dependent on how you choose to look at it. Of course, all of these, individuals that were taken into custody, their investigations, searches, and the seizures were all done invoking provisions from the USA Patriot Act, are all being linked in some way, allegedly linked to ALF and ELF, the Animal and Earth Liberation Fronts. In 2002, while testifying before Congress, James Jarbo of the FBI's Counterterrorism Division referred to these two groups as a serious terrorist threat, and decided that they should be considered on par in terms of investigative priorities with the recent focus on international terrorism. What is interesting about this, and what, hopefully more just world citizens will start to ask, is what does it really mean? What is terror? These are two groups, there's not a whole lot known about either ALF or ELF, but of course in all of these instances that various individuals are being, alleged as being involved in, no lives were harmed, either human or animal. We're talking property damage. So in a sense, we're talking about extreme vandalism. But this is falling under this huge war on terror, and, the terms eco-terrorism are being thrown a lot around. And, as a friend said shortly after Bill's arrest, you know, the U.S. government can't find Osama bin Laden, so they're going after bookstore owners.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that people are all called terrorists, but really they just strike fear in the hearts of the people in power, you know, and then that warrants a terrorist label, but, I mean, people in power strike fear in the hearts of the poor people all the time. And, of course, it's legal. It's just such a... It's becoming such an obvious doublespeak kind of thing that hopefully the more people with these six cases will recognize what's going on a bit more so.
Yeah. Well, yes. And, you know, and they're facing, you know, not only a very intense, you know, public opinion campaign to paint them as, you know, deviants, you know, but they're also facing extraordinarily high minimum and maximum years and fines for these acts, thanks to, you know, all of this frenzy of you know, anti-terrorism legislation that's come out of the U.S. government over the past few years. You know, many of these individuals, I don't know any on a personal level, but having, you know, out of interest for a bill, followed it to a degree, you know, they're predominantly young folks, you know, they're college graduates, you know, they're working within their communities, they're working within their fields, you know, and so it just raises a lot of questions in terms of are we just talking about a witch hunt, are we finding people who just fit a profile, and if that's the case, what does this mean for, you know, anyone who decides to call themselves an environmentalist?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the U.S. political sphere right now is a little crazy, and you know, it just raises a lot of questions for people moving forward. What this is going to mean for people who actually act out of some you know, commitment to their local environment.
Hmm. And one of the things, like Kevin Tubbs, I forget where he was, I guess he was charged with an arson at a Chevrolet dealership in Eugene, and he's being charged, he's being charged 36 times, or one for each vehicle of the 35, and each has a minimum of 5 years. So, I mean, if he's found guilty, he'll be minimum a sentence of, like 175 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's maximum, like 700 years. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it begs the question of are these young people just being hung out to dry as examples?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it furthering someone's electability by them being called in and these allegations raised? Many of them have very strong ties to their communities. Their families have come out in strong support of them as human beings. And, you know, it raises a lot of questions. In the case of Bill, you know, I can say that since December 7th, the overwhelming response from our community has been one of deep regret that someone whom we all love so much would be taken from us. And the, you know, the words that people use to describe Bill are over and over again: gentle, peaceful, kind, compassionate. You know, this is a man who, you know, any community would be blessed to have among them. And so, you know, it definitely raises just a lot of questions in terms of where are we going as a nation? Where is the U.S. Moving towards? And you know, these are cases that are bound with a lot of tragedy, and I guess potentially liberation, dependent upon how you want to look at it. In the case of Bill, I hope that he found liberation in taking his life.
Yeah, I really hope so, too. I do believe it's proper to speak in the present tense rather than the past tense, like you were saying before, with he is. And, Yeah, it's been a pretty emotional time for a lot of this, for a lot of us, and no doubt your community has taken quite a toll. And I just want to thank you a lot, like very, very much for sharing some words with us here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, really, really thank you for talking with us, and greatly appreciate your time and courage. Do you have any closing words at all you'd like to say?
Well, I'd like to thank you, Matt, for the work that you do. And, you know, and as we are all thinking about, you know, how we value the earth and how we value each other, I would just, you know, echo that that is a big part of how Bill chose to live. And we'll continue to remember him as a man with great integrity and great love for the people around him and the environment in which he occupied. And, you know, we're just going to try and continue to act with the integrity and love that he offered to us every day.
Mm. Well, thanks a lot for those awesome, really heartfelt words. And I appreciate it a lot, Sarah.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.